Have you joined our online community, NACI Meets? We're excited to have a platform dedicated to our members to network, connect, exchange ideas, and support your entrepreneurial initiatives. Join the community at nacimeets.naci.com.
Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community. Welcome to Making Our Way Forward podcast, where we interview people from many walks of life who are doing entrepreneurial work in communities everywhere. I'm really excited to have our guest today, Keith Artin, who is coming to us from Durham, North Carolina, and it has an interesting connection to my life. As we opened up the NACI headquarters here in the beginning of 2020, I had to move myself and my family from New Jersey down to North Carolina. So I had an opportunity before even knowing Keith to get acquainted with his organization. So let's kick off the conversation today. And Keith, why don't you share with us a little bit about, you know, who you are and your background and what you're doing right now?
Sure. Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on today, Becky. I appreciate it. My name's Keith Artin. Currently the president and CEO of TROSA, Triangle Residential Options for Substance Abusers, here in Durham. I started my career in a more traditional business role. I was a public finance analyst. So I had an undergrad degree in business and finance and went in and I think even early on, I tried to figure out how what I was doing had a positive impact on society. So although, you know, it took a little bit of gymnastics to make that happen. But, you know, in public finance, we were financing things like schools and hospitals and things of that nature. And I did that for a number of years, but knew that I wanted to consider what other things I might be able to do, and went back for my business degree after 5 years. And coming out of business school, it was dot-com bubble time. This is in 99, spring of 99. And some of the folks that I knew from my banking days had gotten into doing a startup. And after about 6 months after I graduated, I had gotten involved with a smaller startup locally here, but 6 months after I had graduated, they started up something out in California, and I moved out to San Francisco and was involved with that whole scene. It was a really great experience, and it was comical at times, and it was interesting. The things that I learned, though, when you have a group of people who believe in something. And that's how things were, I'd say, in the very earliest days of that startup. I joined up with them when there were just four staff members. We were working in a warehouse in San Francisco. We subleased a warehouse, an office within a warehouse with no heat. And, we would be wearing winter coats and year round, and just everyone's just sort of scraping by. And with a powerful leader, someone who really had a lot of charisma and a lot of vision, was this the person that had brought me out to California.
There is so much there, Keith. I want to just pause for a minute, because as you were talking about your warehouse experience, there was a big smile on your face, which those who are listening can't see. And I was thinking about that in the context of, you know, we get comfortable in our careers, and because you have a background in finance, and I know a little bit about your organization, you guys are doing very well, but you're doing good. You're changing people's lives, but you don't forget that, right? You don't forget being hungry and to some extent being cold, because I'm sure it was a little drafty in that warehouse. And I love your experience. So I'd love it if you'd share with us maybe a couple lessons of what you learned in your time going out to California and sort of in that startup culture. How did maybe a couple of things that you learned prepare you for the role that you're doing today, which is president and CEO of Trosa? Because I want to get into also the mission of the good work that you do.
Well, in a very sort of boring practical way, it just happened that the startup I was involved with was working on an application for moving and storage. So there was a little like practical aspect to the things, to one of the social enterprises that Trosa happened to have. So that was a nice coincidence. But really it had to do with working with people, working with a really good team, the idea of people working together as a team, the excitement of people sort of moving together in the same direction. I think there's a lot of power there. And I will admit that towards the end of my experience in California, we sort of lost the thread in the months leading up to my moving back east to Durham. And I won't get into the details of that, but just to say that, you know, it was a very stereotypical sort of rise and fall of a dot-com start. There were so many of those stories out there, but it did teach me a lot about, again, about staying sort of focused on moving towards sort of a common goal. And when you have that, there's a lot of power there. And once you kind of lose that, it can be very difficult. And I definitely found it here at Trosa.
That is great. And I, you know, no pun intended, as you're talking about move, you know, moving toward that goal. And I don't think it's unusual for people to get lost. I to be honest, have taken detours, even in my years at NACI as the president and CEO these last 7 years. We've sometimes sort of slightly diverted off course, or maybe we sort of strayed away from really laser focusing on our membership, which is really the whole purpose of being. But I think those are great lessons. And you know, one of the great things about being entrepreneurial is you can take a detour, you can have a massive failure, and you can come back from that. And so one of the things I wanted to share with you is how I got to know Trosa. I was planning on moving my family and myself were moving down here. My husband's employer is located down here as well. And I started getting quotes for moving companies, and I was horrified at how expensive it was. And I called up Katie Gales, who's the director of entrepreneurship for Wake Tech. And I said, Katie, do you know of any organizations or companies that might be in the area that possibly we could hire? And she said, I know just the organization. And she told me about your mission of really giving people the opportunity if they've encountered substance abuse, or maybe they've gotten themselves into things that they needed to untangle from, that they could be exposed to really the opportunity to have a great life and to build a sense of fellowship and community. So long story short, I reached out to your organization. I got a quote, which was probably, I'm not kidding you, half of what I got as a quote from a major company. And then I was thinking, well, my goodness, is this going to be like a non-professional experience? But I was like so focused on the big price tag. I'm like, I'll just take a chance. And what was fun for me is I remember we were getting ready to move in, you know, this is goes back almost 2 years ago now, is the people arrived and they were so professional and they were so kind, and that the whole operation was nothing less than what I would have gotten going with a more, you know, well-known firm. And through the days they were helping us pack up and eventually coming down here, and then they greeted us at where I am right now in my house that we moved into, I just started to learn more. And some of them were open enough and kind enough to share about their experience and how dedicated they were to what they were doing. So I'm going to share one other little thing, because I want you to do most of the talking. But as they're moving stuff up, we have sort of a steep, you know, it's not overly steep, but they dinged one of the walls. And I was like, don't worry about it, it's fine. And they said, no, well, we have like a segment of our business that's focused on doing home repairs and different things. And I was like, you do? So anyway, that was my experience. But I want you to talk about really what Trosa is, the impact that you make, not only in helping people like me who need a service, but in changing people's lives.
Thank you. I'd love to. And before I do, though, I do want to say one little thing. There's an element of what that little story you told there that's such a big part of Trisa. And I always, if I talk to people about our moving company or really any of our businesses, I'll often hear very positive things. And I'll tell people, I want to know, you know, it's okay if things didn't go perfect, because this is life. Life isn't perfect and mistakes happen and accidents happen. It's how you react to those things. This is like a life lesson that we live mm-hmm. out in the way we do our business. If you make a mistake, it's okay. Just own up to it and do your best to remedy it. And that sounds like that's exactly what our crew wanted to convey to you. So I think that's really important. So Trosa is a long-term residential substance abuse treatment program. So we have folks who are coming to us with generally with really long-term substance use disorder issues. Many folks are coming with been involved with the criminal justice system at some point, and from a variety of backgrounds, homeless or housing unstable. About a quarter of our folks don't have a high school diploma or the equivalent. And there are folks who are coming as some are coming as an alternative to incarceration, but it's voluntary. People can't be sentenced here. And everyone's coming sort of with the common thread that everyone has here is people want a better life. We sort of lay that out to people when they get here, because we know a better life looks different for everyone. I don't want to say everyone wants the same thing, but everyone wants something better. Because if they didn't want something better, there would be no purpose to, there'd be no reason to commit the time and effort to coming to a place like Trosa. While folks are here, everything is provided for them, food, housing, clothing. Everyone, after a period of time of orientation, which typically is about 30 to 45 days, are put in a community assignment. It can be an internally focused thing, but it might be one of the social enterprises like moving. And folks will be there throughout their program. They'll typically rotate to different departments so that they can get different experiences. And we help people prepare for finding a job outside of Trosa in the community at the end of the program. So the final 3 months of the program are what we call workout. In the months leading up to that, we're doing a lot of classes on relapse prevention, on preparing a resume, on interviewing. And then when people hit that 21-month mark, they find a job out in the community. And for the remaining 3 months of a two-year program, their assignment is to go to that job and save their money so that when they leave Trosa, they have something to get started. We have nearly perfect job placement rates. And we're placing well over 100 people in jobs in the community annually. The only people who don't have jobs when they leave Trosa are people who are either not going to be working because of they may have a disability, or they may be going back to school, or they may be relocating. So they're not going to get a job until they relocate. So we've formed really great relationships with a lot of employers in the area to help people find jobs when they are ready to leave.
Yeah, I remember, I guess you'd call him the foreman or the person in charge when we were moving. You know, he shared his story that, you know, his life was just turned upside down. And he told me that had he not come to Trosa, and he said it was very humbling because, you know, you're doing this and it is really hard work moving furniture or whatever that you're doing. But, you know, he really attributes, you know, his family, you know, he's still married. He was able to save his marriage and his children are, you know, getting older. I think he might have a younger one, but it stuck with me and I was a little sad because I had sort of forgotten about it. And then I got a call from one of your staff members inviting me to make a donation. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot about that because I was thinking about the food bank and many other things. And I wanted to just ask you in terms of your funding, because, you know, you are a finance guy, like obviously your businesses are funding people coming there and, you know, their food and their clothing and whatnot. But like, what are the other kinds of things that you need? How do you get funded otherwise? Are you partially government funded? Do you rely on donations, or how does that work?
So going back when I came to TROSA in 2001, we were probably getting covering about 85 to 90% of our budget with revenue from social enterprises and in-kind donations that that we have a that's like one of the community assignments is in-kind to sort of do research and find things that can be donated that we would otherwise spend money on. It could be anything. It could be food, it could be clothing, it could be toilet paper, it could be shampoo. So I didn't get into my whole journey. I was at TROSA for close to 10 years. I left TROSA for a job outside of TROSA and moved on to the board for about 3.5 years. And then I came back to work at TROSA in late 2014. When I came back to TROSA in the very beginning of 2015, we had started to work with, make a more concerted effort to figure out if there was a piece where we could secure some funding from the government, because we were finding that we were covering our operating needs pretty well, but there was a lot of long-term deferred capital improvements that were being neglected, and we were sort of being forced to be penny wise and pound foolish because of the cash flow. And so today our picture looks a little bit more like about 65 to 70% of our operating is covered by the social enterprises, and about 15% or so is covered by government funds, a mixture of different sources of government funds, and about 15% is coming from traditional fundraising. So that's another thing that we've been working on making more robust, so that, again, so that we can address a lot of capital needs and make sure that we have just a mix that is a little more sustainable.
Yeah, I like that diversification. Even, you know, here at NACI, you know, we take in obviously membership dues. We're a nonprofit 501c3, but we've really focused on that as well. And I think, you know, one of the things I learned early in my career working for the United Way is the most common reason people give for not contributing is nobody asked them. So just like the story of your staff member that reached out to me was important. If people are listening to this and they love your mission and they want to help out, where do they go to find out more about TROSA if they want to contribute something to help you guys, you know, especially during the holiday season where a lot of people have been blessed, let's be honest, through the pandemic, you're saving money on gas, you know, maybe you're lucky enough that you have your job and you want to give back. So tell us, Keith, what you need and how people can support your work.
Great. Well, thank you for asking that. So our website's the best place to start. It's trosainc.org. That's trosainc.org. And you know, there it's pretty easy to learn a lot more about our program there, and also figure out ways that you can help, either by making a donation online, or even you know, folks have ways that they might be able to contribute to in an in-kind fashion. That's a great place to start as well.
Good. So I really hope people will do that. And I know, and we talk about this a lot on the program, is that, you know, it's funny, you give and it's really empowering. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, if you really want to feel good about yourself, you know, help someone else, listen to someone else, you know, do for others, I think, especially at this time of year. And so I was hoping that at this point in the year, we would be beyond the pandemic, but it has reared its ugly head again. So it looks like this is going to be a longer journey. And as Keith, we think about the things that we talk about internally at NACI, what we're grateful for and hopeful for. Why don't you close us out and maybe share with us, you know, something that you're grateful for, either, you know, in your work or family life, and something that you're hopeful for in 2022?
Well, you know, I mean, personally, I have a lot of things to be thankful for, but focusing on TROSA, I'm incredibly thankful for a number of things. We, up to this point in the pandemic, we've had, even though we live in a very like a congregate living type of setting, we've instituted a lot of really good practices going all the way back to March of 2020, where we have not had any outbreaks at TROSA of COVID. We've only had individualized cases, and there was no no one required any medical care outside of the primary care we provide on campus. So we're very fortunate there, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. We also have experienced a lot of dedication by our staff. You know, people had to go above and beyond for the last 18 plus months, and it's just been very it's been hard on people emotionally, I think, but everyone stayed very committed to what our mission is here, and we're really, really fortunate for that. And finally, sort of looking ahead, we've been, you know, after, this is something I talked about. We started in 2015, you know, trying to work on identifying ways that the government might be able to help with us with our mission. But it went back even further than that, that there were conversations and meetings happening going back a few years before that. And it's borne out in our state recently. The most recent state budget approved a significant investment in our expansion to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which we have started with a small amount, not a small amount, but with enough money to get started, but not enough to finish out the project. And the state just made a commitment that gets us towards finishing that project up over the course of the next 3 years.
Yeah, that is something to celebrate. And I think it's also maybe a beacon of hope that, you know, that was a, you know, bipartisan effort, right? Not everybody had everything that they wanted, but I'm thrilled to hear of that, because that's what we like to focus on is, you know, good things, expanding and scaling them. So I want to thank you, Keith, for sharing a little bit about your story. You have such a rich history. I'm excited about TROSA. I really hope that people who are tuning in will learn about that. Again, I lived in New Jersey at the time and reached out and contracted with one of your businesses that supports your mission. And I hope other people will learn about that as well. And just remember, if there are people in your family and your life that have made mistakes or need help, there's no shame in reaching out to either TROSA or other organizations or communities of people. You know, nobody is beyond help and hope.
Agreed. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Keith, for joining us. And I'm excited to share the work that you're doing with our over 450 cities and 30 plus countries around the world. I hope people will be inspired. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at nacy.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard about our latest book, Impact Ed, How Community College Entrepreneurship Creates Equity and Prosperity? This is our roadmap for building back better in 50 states and globally. In each chapter, we share the inspiring stories of everyday entrepreneurs and explain how community colleges play a crucial role in their success. Visit us at nacy.com/impacted to order your copy now and join us in this work. Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community.